are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Tuesday, everybody. The Timberwolves fell to the Denver Nuggets on Monday night by a score of 107-100 as the Wolves dropped their sixth game in a row. Today, we're going to break down the loss. We'll cover studs and duds from the game. Then we're also going to look at the parallels between Denver's team-building effort, what the Wolves have in front of them in terms of trying to build a playoff contender. I'm really excited to talk about that as Denver has really done exactly what the Wolves are trying to do and need to do in terms of building a contender in a non-traditional free agent destination. And, of course, the Wolves are faced with going up against Denver for actually the Wolves are in a really tough division in terms of smart front offices with Denver and Portland and Oklahoma City and Utah even. But to try and take on some of these teams four times every year and battle them for playoff spots, Gerson Rosas has a tall task in front of him, but we'll look at the Nuggets roster and how they were assembled and what the Wolves need to do moving forward to try and contend with Denver. But first, Wolves Nuggets for Monday. It was really a similar story to most of the last six losses. The Wolves have now lost six in a row. They've all been to playoff teams or likely playoff teams. I think Oklahoma City is really the only one with a question mark, and they're almost for sure going to be in. And in this one, again, the Wolves led early. They played well overall, especially for the first half, three quarters of the game. They were making threes. They were competing on defense. The rebounding wasn't great, but it was good enough. Towns was really involved in the first quarter. And the second quarter was a lot of Towns was on the bench for the first part of the second quarter. Josh Okogie really asserted himself, played great defense. Jordan McLaughlin played great defense, had a couple of big steals. Okogie was aggressive. He actually scored off the dribble a couple of times in the half court, got to the rim instead of simply scoring in transition, but he was also effective in transition. And the Wolves were within a point at halftime. They led by four at the end of the first quarter, down by one at halftime. Okogie converted a three-point play right before halftime to bring the Wolves within one. The third quarter was actually not bad for the Wolves either, which is a place that they've struggled a little bit lately. Towns was back involved in the offensive game. Andrew Wiggins, we'll talk more about his game in our next segment. Spoiler alert, he was not a stud, but we will talk about him. He had zero rebounds and zero assists in the first half, did not get his first rebound until a couple of minutes into the third quarter. This was adeptly pointed out by the Fox Sports North crew of Jim Peterson and Dave Benz. They, like everybody else, are getting tired of a guy who's 6'8 and one of the best, at least 10 athletes in the league, going stretches of 20-plus game minutes without grabbing a rebound. It just makes no sense. It did appear as though he was challenged at halftime. He grabbed four rebounds in about a four-minute span, and in the third quarter ended up with six. But finally came to the party a little bit in the third quarter, was aggressive offensively after being mostly, I think it was like 2-for-8 in the first half. So Towns and Wiggins together in the third quarter kind of kept the Wolves in things within a bucket early in the fourth. And it was never really, the Nuggets never really put the Wolves away. The final margin was even a little bit misleading. The Wolves were within four with about a minute to play. And Towns was tried a tough baseline shot over Jokic. Could have gone either way in terms of foul call. They didn't. Wolves did not get a foul call, and Towns committed a frustration foul on Jokic. The game was basically over at that point. I think Will Barton hit a 3-pointer on the Denver's next possession to stretch it to a 7-point game, and that was it. So the Wolves were really in it throughout. It was just the rebounding was the biggest issue. They gave up a number of offensive rebounds late to Denver. Overall in the game, they were out-rebounded 53-42, which is, of course, miserable. They gave up 13 offensive rebounds to Denver, and it just really struggled to keep the Nuggets off the glass. And it wasn't just Jokic either. It was really as a team. And Towns, for his third consecutive game since returning from missing 15 due to injury, did not reach double digits in rebounding, but it isn't only Towns. It's the rest of the guys on the team. Jarrett Culver had two rebounds. Shabazz Napier had three rebounds. Covington only had six. Wiggins only had six. Those guys each, that's not far off where they need to be, but I mean, Roko's playing the four. He's got to do a little bit more than that. And then the guards have to rebound their positions. I mean, combined Napier, Culver, McLaughlin, Allen Crabbe combined to have seven rebounds between the four of them, and they were primarily outside of Josh Okogie. That was the Wolves' backcourt in this game. You have to have your backcourt grab more than 7 rebounds over 4 guys. So that was a big issue in this one for the Wolves, probably the biggest issue. Also, pick and roll defense and covering the paint on the defensive end of the floor was not good either. The pick and roll defense, the Wolves switched things up. They played a little bit more ice coverage in this game to try and limit the damage done by penetration and the access to easy passes to the roll man. But it really didn't result in any more success. The Wolves clearly still struggled to guard the pick and roll, and it would be lazy to blame it all on Karl Anthony Towns because guard play has a lot to do with it. But this team just is not consistent on that end of the floor, and no doubt defensive coordinator David Vanterpool has his hands full trying to explain these concepts to these guys and make sure that they're more consistent. So I think still overall for the season, the Wolves defense has been okay. It's been probably better than expected, and the offense has been worse than expected. So it's tough to get too up in arms about the Wolves' defensive performance on the season. But in this particular game, it was definitely a game that was there for the taking against a good team that was missing 3 starters. We haven't even talked about that yet. Paul Millsap, Gary Harris, Jamal Murray, all out. They're all regular starters for the Nuggets. And the Wolves still couldn't pull out this win. Nobody on the Nuggets really stood out except for Michael Porter Jr. off the bench, the rookie, who was a rookie last year but didn't play due to injury. We'll talk a little bit more about him when we get to the final segment in the show today, when we talk about just how good the Nuggets how good a job the Nuggets have done in team building. But Porter has been awesome lately. He dropped 20 points, 14 rebounds, 4 assists in 30 minutes in this game off the bench. 4 of 8 beyond the arc, was a game high plus 17. Nobody else was even in double figures in the plus minus column. And was just really, really good. Dynamic, athletic, good shooter. All of the things that you would want to see, from a former number one pick or first round pick, I should say. And he's got a bright future. And again, not to get too deep into the Nuggets already, but Paul Millsap's a free agent at the end of the year. No doubt Porter's the starter of the future at the 4 for this team. So all that to say, the Wolves just struggled to compete with the rebounding prowess of the Nuggets. And I mean, Jokic had 13 rebounds himself. He only had 17 points on 15 shots. So he actually, and 5 assists to 5 turnovers. The Wolves did a pretty good job of clogging passing lanes when Jokic had the ball at the top of the arc and was looking for cutters and open shooters, picked off a couple of his passes. And again, 5 assists to 5 turnovers. So a pretty good job on Jokic overall. It was just the other guys and then the lack of rebounding and shutting down the Nuggets when they missed their initial attempts that were really the biggest issues. All right, next up, we're going to talk studs and duds from this game. Before we do that, I did want to talk a little bit about our friends at Calm. We talk about physical fitness a lot, but there's another side to the game that's just as important. I'm talking about mental fitness. Calm, the number one app for sleep and meditation, has teamed up with LeBron James to help you train your mind. LeBron and Calm know that your mind is like any other muscle in your body, and Calm can help you train your brain so you sleep better, have less stress, and perform at your best. For LeBron James, sleep is an important part of his mental fitness routine. He says, quote, "Getting good sleep and finding time to rest is one of the most valuable things I can do for my body and mind," end quote. If you head to calm.com/lockedonNBA, you'll get 40% off a Calm Premium membership. With Calm, you have access to the nature scenes LeBron loves, like rain on leaves, and so much more, like sleep stories and meditations. For limited time, our listeners can join LeBron in using Calm with a 40% discount to an annual membership at calm.com/lockedonNBA. Unlock content to help you focus, ease stress, and sleep better. Get started at calm.com/lockedonNBA. That's calm.com/lockedonNBA. All right, next up, we're going to talk studs and duds from this game. Pretty easy group to pinpoint, really. Really, the only studs for the Wolves are Karl Anthony Towns and Josh Okogie. And Towns especially is kind of tough to give him the award in this one as well, but he had a pretty good overall game. We'll talk about Okogie first. He was the best player on the floor for the Wolves, hands down, and this is now a string of games that he's played quite well in. I'll pull up his game-by-game here in just a minute. But basically, I mean, in this game, he had 16 points, 8 rebounds in 27 minutes, 7 of 11 from the floor, 1 of 3 beyond the arc, made his only free throw attempt on that 3-point play before halftime, had an assist, a steal, was a +3 off the bench in a game the Wolves lost, and only had two turnovers in 27 minutes. He was aggressive, and he wasn't settling either. He was getting to the rim. There were at least two times where he got to the rim in the half court off the dribble. He had some nice cuts in the game. He was very good in transition, per usual, and strong defensively. He was not the issue on defense for the Wolves. And that's the third straight game now that he's been active on both ends of the floor, that he's scored a little bit off the bench. He's actually seen his playing time increase a little bit over the past couple of weeks, even with Jarrett Culver's improvements. The Wolves sent Jalen Noel and Keelan Martin back to the G League, and that kind of corresponds with his bump in minutes and then bump in production. During the six-game losing streak, Okogie scored 15 or more points three times. He scored 16 against Houston, 15 against at Indiana, and then 16 last night against Denver. And he's also had five or more rebounds in three of the six games and four or more rebounds in five of the six games. So overall, strong play from Okogie lately, and is overall playing well. His three-point shooting has ticked up in the month of January. His shooting from the floor, the month of December, he shot 31% from the floor. He's shooting almost 48% from the floor in the month of January, and has continued to be himself on defense. So really a strong showing again from Okogie, and probably the only true bright spot in this one. Towns had 28 points on 9 of 19 shooting, was 2 of 5 beyond the arc, 8 of 9 from the free throw line. So definitely started to show some of the offensive touch that we expect to see. He did. The Wolves fed the post a lot, especially early in the game. And so Towns was trying to take Jokic to the rim. And between the Nuggets didn't send help initially, but then started to as the game went on. And Towns mostly made them pay. He did have 5 assists in this game and 0 turnovers. So really the only true blight on Towns' performance was only 8 rebounds in 35 minutes to Jokic's 13 in 34 minutes and Michael Porter Jr.'s 14 in 30 minutes. It's not Towns' fault that the rest of his teammates didn't rebound the ball, but I think it's fair to expect more than 8 rebounds in 35 minutes out of Karl-Anthony Towns. But other than that, 5 assists, no turnovers, a steal, a block, plus 2 on the game, 28 points, 2 of 5 beyond the arc, all that's great. So overall, a good game for Towns, and he just needs to really step it up on the glass. That's 3 games in a row now, which I don't know, but I would assume that this is as many games in a row he's gone without a rebound in a couple of years, maybe since his rookie year or something like that. But with this team not playing a traditional 4 alongside Towns, and I mean, Towns and Gorgie split the minutes at the 5. Gorgie played 13 minutes. They haven't shared the floor much at all. Dave Benz on the Wolves broadcast mentioned that Ryan Saunders did not expect to play Gorgie and Towns together very much. I get that the Nuggets weren't necessarily playing a traditional 4. Maybe if Paul Millsap had been on the floor, that's something the Wolves could have tried. But at some point, the Wolves need to mix in a little bit of a traditional power forward. Maybe not in the true traditional sense of the word, but a bigger power forward than somebody like Rocco to try and buoy those rebounding numbers. Towns can't do it all by himself. Gorgie was fine. I mean, he had 4 rebounds in 13 minutes, but the Wolves need more than 12 rebounds out of the center position, especially if you're going up against a team like Denver, who's going to make you pay with multiple cracks at the rim. So overall, good game from Towns. The rebounding thing's got to get solved. In terms of duds, this is much easier to pinpoint because you could argue basically everybody else on the roster was a dud in this one, which I guess is maybe a little unfair. But we'll start with Robert Covington. I mean, he had 9 points, 4 of 10 shooting, 1 of 7 beyond the arc, 6 rebounds, an assist to steal. He wasn't a dud in the traditional sense where he would like had a terrible shooting game or anything like that, but 1 of 7 beyond the arc. The Wolves need more than 1 three-pointer out of Robert Covington. And if he's going to play 33 minutes, 6 rebounds is kind of the bare minimum that you'd want to see out of him. And in a game like this that the Wolves lost by only 7, we're in it, you know, down 2 possessions with a minute left. Covington's got to do more on the glass. He didn't attempt any free throws and, had a couple of really solid defensive possessions. There was at least twice where he stuffed the Nuggets offensive player and then got a rebound or forced a tough shot and then got a rebound near the rim. And so he continues to be a strong defender in really every area on the floor. But the Wolves need more than 1 three-pointer on offense from Rocco. Andrew Wiggins' final line doesn't look awful. 15 points, 6 rebounds, a couple of assists. But he shot the ball 17 times to get his 15 points. 6 of 17, 1 of 7 beyond the arc. Only attempted 2 free throws, made them both. Had 0 rebounds and 0 assists at halftime. And, I mean, honestly, if he's rebounding the ball better in the first half, this is probably, the Nuggets probably aren't up 1. This is probably a Wolves up by a bucket or 2 situation because Rebounding his position is a huge part of what the Wolves are trying to do. If the Wolves go small, which they do almost all the time with Robert Covington at the four, Wiggins has to rebound the ball better from the three spot. He can't go an entire half with zero rebounds. He also just wasn't efficient. He's not getting to the rim like he was earlier in the season and is settling. The uptick in three-point shots is definitely a good thing, and we've been calling for that. Wolves fans have across the board for years, really, for him to keep shooting more threes because he's an okay three-point shooter. The volume of threes is always a good thing. But there are times where he's legit settling for outside shots. He's getting a pass and shooting from 4 feet beyond the arc, or he's jab-stepping a couple of times and then launching a three, which is never as good of a shot for him as if he's shooting off the dribble or off the catch. He's just not getting to the rim as often as he was earlier. And it's unclear why that is exactly. If it's just lack of aggression, it's certainly not scheme. But at any rate, this was not a great game for Andrew Wiggins. And following up his first career triple-double the other night, that was super disappointing. I mentioned you could throw almost everybody else on the team into the duds category. I mean, Napier was 2 of 8. Culver was 2 of 8, which is Culver's first game not in double figures in almost 3 weeks. Napier did have 8 assists to just 1 turnover, was a +4 on the game. So he was okay. It was just, he again is not doing much offensively of late. Culver had a disappointing game, but it's hard to call him a dud because of just overall how good he's been lately. And he was again solid on defense. Kata Bates-Diop had 9 points, 3 rebounds off the bench. Gorgie had 8 and 4. Jordan McLaughlin was scoreless, but had the 4 assists, no turnovers, and a couple of steals. So he played quite well. Alan Crabb, in his Timberwolves debut, only attempted 4 shots. 3 of them were threes. He made one. I think it was his second 3-point attempt. Had 3 points and 3 assists in 17 minutes and was fine. Struggled a little bit defensively. It looked like he was trying to be really aggressive, but there were a couple instances where he just got a little bit lost in the pick and roll and wasn't really getting open opportunities on offense, which is super important for what Crabb tries to do. Overall, disappointing performance from the Wolves, but again, we're in the game late against a playoff team, and you can say that about, I think, 5 of the last 6 games, and the Raptors game is the only one that they were really blown out of, and the Wolves were in that game until early in the fourth quarter. So even though the 6-game losing streak is really ugly, this has been a murderer's row of opponents for the Wolves, and it's positive that they've been as competitive as they have been. And now they turn around and they play at the Bulls on Wednesday, which is obviously a winnable game, although Chicago is playing a little better of late. And then it gets tough again. Houston, Oklahoma City, Sacramento, the Clippers, Sacramento. It's not going to let up. Unfortunately, the Wolves dropped a lot of games earlier this season they should have won, some with Towns available, some with Towns not on the floor. And now they've really put themselves in a tough spot at 15-28 with a schedule that doesn't really let up except for a few here and there. So all that to say, disappointed overall performance from the Wolves, but definitely some glimmers of hope in Josh Okogie and Towns gaining back some of his shooting touch as well. All right, before we get into talking a little bit more about the Nuggets, I did want to mention an opportunity related to local advertising here at Locked On Wolves. If you've been a listener of this podcast, I'm sure you've heard all the great advertisers working with Locked On to reach sports fans. But you may not know that Locked On Wolves is a great way for your local business to reach passionate Minnesota Timberwolves fans just like you. Unlike any other podcast, Locked On gives your local company the unique ability to reach local podcast listeners, and not just any podcast listener, a Locked On podcast listener. If your company wants to connect with Timberwolves fans in a predominantly male audience that is well-educated with disposable income, then let's put your company right here on this Locked On podcast. Local fans love to support local businesses. Text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising and let us know who you are. We'll get our team to help your team achieve Locked On advertising success. Once again, text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising. We look forward to hearing from you. All right, I want to spend a few minutes talking about the Nuggets roster construction and how Denver got to where they are. If you take a look at Denver's roster, there's only one player that's a regular part of the rotation that was a free agent acquisition. And bar none, there was only one player that was a significant free agent acquisition, and that's Paul Millsap. You might remember he was actually signed the same offseason the Wolves signed Jeff Teague and traded Ricky Rubio, and that was the Tom Thibodeau, I guess you could call it a spending spree, when he brought in Taj Gibson and made all those moves. And Millsap, there was a brief moment where it looked like there was a chance he'd come to Minnesota if they had the money. But Denver was able to overpay him a little bit for what was effectively a three-year deal. He was injured a lot his first year, has been banged up again recently. But overall, you know, he's their starting four. And so he's a significant part of the team, although, you know, he's now 34. He's averaging only 12-6 this year, but still a big part of what they do, a versatile player, a solid defender. He's the only guy that was acquired via free agency. This wasn't, you know, just throwing a ton of max money at guys or overpaying people. This was good old-fashioned team building. Look at the rest of this rotation, and they were all acquired via trade or via draft. Will Barton was a second-round pick from Portland, and the Denver Nuggets got him in a steal of a trade back in 2015. Among other players, Denver acquired a first-round pick and Will Barton. They also got, you know, a couple other guys who are no longer with the team. They gave up Aaron Aflalo and Alonzo Gee, and that was it. They got a protected first-round lottery pick. That pick turned into Malik Beasley, who's currently a part of the rotation, and Will Barton turned into now he's a starter, but he was a big-time sixth man for them for a couple of years. They've since extended his contract in the 2018 offseason. He was signed an extension. But he's a huge part of what they do, a dynamic scorer, a solid defender, and he was acquired along with a first-round pick that turned into another rotation guy. Malik Beasley is a big guy off the bench for them, 17 minutes a game, and a consistent contributor for them as well. They drafted Gary Harris, or I should say at least acquired some of these guys they acquired in draft night trades. Gary Harris, Jamal Murray, Nikola Jokic was a little bit of a surprise after a slow start to his NBA career, but, I mean, obviously he's their best player. Jeremy Grant, that was the one maybe potential overpay that the Nuggets clearly, you know, last year they had a couple of shortcomings despite being one of the best teams in the league and advancing in the playoffs and having a super bright future. They decided they'd be all in and go for it. They traded a top 10 protected first round pick to Oklahoma City to get Jeremy Grant, and he's been a good fit for them. He's been starting since Millsap's injury, mostly coming off the bench 25 minutes a game. 10-3 off the bench, 37% from beyond the arc, can play, you know, the three and the four. And that acquisition was, you know, maybe a little bit of an overpay, but for a team that is 1-2 pieces away from legit being a finals contender, it made a lot of sense. But again, that's through trade. It wasn't through free agency. They drafted Monty Morris in the second round. Mason Plumlee, I guess, was also a player who was acquired by the team. Plumlee was, of course, a draft pick by Brooklyn several years ago, and he was acquired via trade initially before being extended by the Nuggets. He was traded from Portland in the Yusuf Nurkic trade. Nurkic, of course, has been good for Portland, but has been injured, and the Nuggets clearly just thought that Plumlee was a better fit for their roster, for what they were trying to do versus Nurkic, and I think that that's true. Nurkic and Jokic weren't an ideal fit together, whereas Plumlee can play on the floor with Jokic pretty easily because of his defensive mindset and his ability to offensive rebound the ball as well. So again, a trade acquisition, they extended the guy as well. Some of the ancillary players, Torrey Craig was also a draft pick. Michael Porter Jr. was a player who he only played three games in college due to back issues, didn't play his whole rookie season after falling in the draft to the 14th selection because of his back issues. The Nuggets picked him up 14th, let him sit out last year. The Nuggets were still one of the best teams in the league. Now he's been integrated into this team as a bench player. He's only averaging 13 minutes off the bench, but he's been awesome lately. He dropped 20-14 against the Wolves. He's the type of high upside player. The Nuggets already hit on Jokic, a guy who fell on draft night. And now it looks like they're going to hit on Porter as well. And so you need some good fortune, but they're also putting themselves in the position to succeed. You look at this roster, the only other guy who was acquired via free agency at all, really, who's played any games and who played against the Wolves last night, PJ Dozier, was a free agent acquisition. He's played in four games for this team. Is a very end of the bench player and wouldn't be on the court if it wasn't for all the injuries that they currently are suffering. So all that to say, this is exactly what the Timberwolves need to do in terms of team building. It's a lot easier said than done, and it takes a little bit of time, obviously. However, it's worked for the Nuggets, and the Nuggets are basically a juggernaut for the next few years. Most of those guys are locked up. They've extended guys like Plumlee and Will Barton to multi-year deals. They don't have a lot of money coming off the books, but they also don't really operate through free agency. They also extended Jamal Murray. So really their only expiring deals are going to be Mason Plumlee, actually expires after this year, $14 million coming off the books. And then Paul Millsap will also be expiring. That's $30 million coming off the books. And there's a few small restricted free agent deals that they have that they'll have to make decisions on. But I mean, they're still going to have cap space this summer. And this is a team that, you know, filling Millsap's role is going to be easier said than done. But Porter sure looks like he's going to be about ready to do exactly that. So the Wolves need to just take a page out of the Denver Nuggets book, build as they've built. Of course, the Nuggets never completely bottomed out either. I mean, they were a 30-win team in 2014 and 15. They fired Brian Shaw during the season, hired Mike Malone, and their win totals have just skyrocketed. 33 wins the next year, 40 the year after that, 46 the year after that. That was the year they lost the last game of the season to the Wolves, and the Wolves got the 8 seed. The Nuggets missed the playoffs with 46 wins. And then last season, the Nuggets won 54 games, were first in the division, lost in the semifinal round of the playoffs. And then this year, they're back in that, you know, they're basically tied for the third seed right now in the West at 30-13. They're on pace to probably eclipse that 54-win mark from last year, and they've dealt with far more injury issues than they did last season. So they're still on that path upwards. They are going to have cap space. They have a bunch of guys locked up. It's really a perfect lesson in team building, and it's something the Wolves really need to take a hard look at. I'm sure Gerson Rosas has. And Towns, I mean, Jokic pretty clearly has been the better player over the past couple of years, quite honestly. But Towns still has a higher ceiling and more upside. And if things can click for him in terms of passing the ball, distributing, and playing within the offense, and you know, I think that there's certainly a lot of potential there for him to be the clear better player than Jokic. It just hasn't quite happened yet. And the Wolves need to do a better job of surrounding him with pieces. That is one of the bigger issues, or bigger differences, I should say, in that Jokic has guys to pass to in the half court. Towns doesn't exactly have a ton of shooters around him. So at any rate, this is a rivalry that really should become a rivalry if Rosas, you know, does what he's going to try and do in terms of the trade market before the deadline and then also this summer. But the Nuggets are a perfect lesson in team building, and definitely a team that should be lauded for what they've done. All right, that's all we have for you today here at Locked On Wolves. Thanks for listening once again to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. We'll be back on Wednesday. We'll be previewing the Wolves' next game against the Bulls, as well as talking about any news that crops up between now and then. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.